next on Packers Today.
Handoff, Zeke crashing through the right side to the goal line, and watch the dog. Touchdown, Cowboys.
It's the number one ranked running attack versus the league's best against the run.
Snap to Stafford, gives to Riddick up the middle, tries to spin away, and he's captured at the point of attack. Is this run defense for real?
What will it take to slow down rookie Ezekiel Elliott?
Stop him fast as we can. Don't let him get going and hit him often. That's what we're going to try to do.
Also, the Cowboys' D has yet to allow a 100-yard rusher or a 100-yard receiver. Where can the Packers make plays? Plus, we'll relive the Packers' run to greatness in the 90s ahead of today's halftime ceremony for Hall of Famer Brett Favre. Packers Today starts right now.
It's going to be a big challenge this week, and it will be an excellent matchup.
We got to take care of business at home and keep this thing rolling.
Packers to the Cowboys, here we go.
We got to play physical, and we got to get ready for a battle. You know, it's going to be a big boys game. It's going to be a physical game, and we'll be up to it.
As Kenny Clark said, it is a big boys game. You look at this stat, the number one ranked rush game in the NFL, taking on Dom Capers' number one run defense, and this is number one on number one. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Packers Today, presented by Verizon. Ted Stefaniak, along with Packers Hall of Famer Larry McCarron.
Wow.
Always good to be sitting next to you, my friend.
Likewise. Hey,
this is a huge, huge game and a great test for this Packer run defense.
Well, you mentioned that matchup, one against one, and I want to tell you, hide the women and children. It could be a bloodbath because, sure, the focal point of the Dallas running game, the top-ranked running game that they bring into Lambeau Field, is Ezekiel Elliott. But it all starts up front with their offensive line versus the Packers' defensive front. We're talking about two sides of the line of scrimmage with big, proud, tough men out to uphold their honor as being the top ranked at whatever they're doing. It should be cool to watch.
Looking forward to seeing these big guys get after it today, but of course, this game is going to be decided by much more than just that run game.
Ted, you are correct, sir. It is time for this week's scouting report brought to you by CarMax, and here are five things you need to know about those Dallas Cowboys.
No Tony Romo all five games. No Dez Bryant the last two. No problem for the Cowboys. At just under 400 yards per game, they rank second. And when it comes to points, they're number eight.
Throws it over the middle, Beasley at the five. Touchdown!
You could say they have a young backfield, but that's not stopping them from making plays and generating the offense and doing what they want to do.
Our Dallas Cowboys select Dak Prescott, quarterback, Mississippi State.
The Cowboys didn't just wait till the fourth round to select Dak Prescott. They waited till their second pick in the fourth round to take him. The rookie's QB rating is 101+. He's mobile, and he's yet to throw an interception.
He looks good, man. It looks like nothing's rattled him. The stage is not too big for him. It looks like he makes all the correct throws, and he's playing with a lot of confidence.
And it's an option keep, and Prescott around the right side. Touchdown, Cowboys!
Ezekiel Elliott was billed as the second coming of Adrian Peterson prior to the draft. He's lived up to the billing, leading the league in yards, 546, and carries, 109.
He's going! Zeke Elliott! Walked all the dogs, 60 yards.
Fast enough to run by yet and strong enough to run over yet? Is he one of those guys?
He's the full package. And, having the experience of playing him in college is huge. And he's a good runner. He's a downhill runner. He's shaky and can hit the hole.
The Cowboys have one of the best offensive lines in the league. And the best of the bunch is left tackle Tyron Smith. His play is textbook.
big, strong, fast. He's probably the best offensive tackle that I face. You know, the best in the league, in my opinion.
The Dallas defense, middle of the road in most respects, but Morris Claiborne and Brandon Carr, it does boast a pair of corners who can cover. The Cowboys' secret defensive weapon, an offense that each clock to the tune of 33 minutes and 49 seconds per game, thanks in very large part to that top-ranked rushing attack.
Crashing through the right side to the goal line, touchdown, Cowboys!
We know these guys. We play them every year. You know, they got number one, we got number one. We're going to see who's going to be number one on Sunday.
Now, just looking at that scouting report, a lot of new faces in that video. And if you haven't been following the Cowboys, they've got some exciting guys. You talked about Elliott already, but how about this young rookie quarterback, Dak Prescott?
Well, nobody saw this coming, but if you look at the bigger picture for a rookie quarterback, he's pretty much in an ideal situation. Not that he hasn't done tremendously on his own, but you look at his situation. He's got an offensive line, one of the best in the league. He's not running for his life. They've got the league's best running game. And so it's not all on Dak Prescott. I think he's in a great situation. He's made the most of it so far.
Well, Prescott's playing really well right now, yep. But he's had some help from his receivers, even though Dez Bryant's been out for a few weeks with an injury.
Yeah, they've been effective. The Dallas Cowboys still rank second in total offense in the National Football League. Outside, they got Terrence Williams, a real deal NFL receiver. Cole Beasley in the slot, very sudden. He's tough to corral. He makes plays for him. And, of course, there's the ageless wonder, Jason Witten. Ted, I don't think he could beat you in a 40 right now, but somehow, some way, he finds the open spot in the field, turns around, catches the ball, and then makes yardage. I don't know how he does it, but he does it.
He just keeps doing it.
He's been doing it for like 80 years.
Makes us want to try again, huh?
No.
No. Hey, this Packers offense is going to be in for a challenge as well. You know, Dallas, they haven't given up a 100-yard rusher or a 100-yard receiver this entire season. Now, last year, Eddie Lacy got 124 against the Cowboys, but where do you think the Packers can find some plays offensively against this Dallas defense?
You know what, Ted, when all the discussion is out there going on about the Packers offense and what's wrong and so forth, you look back to the Giant game. If they hang on to a handful of balls, some of them were tough catches, and they can make tough catches. It's the NFL, and they've got talent. If they hang on to those passes, it's an entirely different story and perception offensively. I think the Green Bay Packers, at the end of the football day, got to make the plays they're capable of.
Still to come on Packers Today.
Broken up by Micah Hyde, incomplete.
In baseball, he's the equivalent of a utility infielder. For the Packers, he's, well, I'm not really sure. We'll let Larry sort out Micah's role in this week's Chalk Talk. And the old gunslinger's back in town. When we return, Larry and I will recall some of our favorite Brett Favre memories. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're watching Packers Today, presented by Verizon.
Time for this week's Chalk Talk, brought to you by Sandwich Bros. When you're missing both starting corners, as the Packers were against the Giants, it causes a chain reaction. You replace your starters with your nickel and dime guys, but then you have to replace your nickel and dime guys.
Without having Sam and the whole D situation, we really didn't know who was going to be in and who was going to be out. And coach just told us, just be ready for whatever.
Whatever turned out to be Micah playing the nickel instead of the dime back. And when the Packers went dime, Hyde's normal spot was filled by safety Morgan Burnett.
I'm a team guy. Wherever they need me to be, I'm going to be there and try to give them my all and give them my best.
Check out Morgan as the dime back in the slot. That is coverage any corner would be proud of. Hyde spent most of his night on Sterling Shepard, a 4-4 guy who can separate.
Right side, it's broken up by Micah Hyde, incomplete. Fourth down.
Shepard's bottom line, 2 catches, 14 yards.
My name was called, I went in there, and gotta give credit to, you know, the whole defense of, you know, just stepping up.
On this play, Hyde's job is to play Odell Beckham man-to-man all over the field. And Micah takes his work very seriously. Look who's sacking the receiver turned passer for a 6-yard loss. Appropriately enough, it was Hyde and Burnett bracketing Shepard when Morgan made the most spectacular play of the night, almost.
Yes! Nearly intercepted by Morgan Burnett. Had a shot at it and could not quite hang on.
I see what receivers mean when they say the ground is the hardest defender. It was a long way. I had to show the young guys I still got some hops in there.
And Ted, Morgan Burnett was awarded a game ball for his performance against the Giants, as was Micah Hyde.
They were outstanding. And I tell you what, Larry, later today we'll see another outstanding or former outstanding player. Brett Favre is back in town. He's going to get his name on the facade once again and also pick up his Hall of Fame ring. Looking forward to seeing Brett Favre back in town. And when you start thinking about number 4, the memories start flooding back.
Yeah, they sure do. And everybody's familiar with the records and numbers he put up. But the thing that always stood out to me is that every time Brett Favre came out of that tunnel, his team, his teammates had hope because of him. That's a heck of a deal for a football player.
Still to come, we might be 20 years removed from Super Bowl 31, but the climb to the top is still fresh in the mind of Mark Chmura.
That plane ride home, we were like, all right, next year, we're going all the way. It's our year, and let's start now.
When we come back, Mark relives the glory days of the 90s. As we head to break, here's a look at the tail of the tape ahead of today's matchup with the 4-1 Cowboys. Welcome back. You know, one of the great things about coming to a game here at Lambeau Field is you get to see some of the alumni. Last week, Craig Hentrick was here along with Mark Chmura. And with Brett Favre being welcomed back to Lambeau Field later today for that ceremony, it kind of brings back the memories as we talked about, including Mark Chmura, who was a big part of that Super Bowl 31 run. We had a chance to sit down with him last week to talk about his rookie year in 1992 leading up to the Super Bowl 31 victory.
Didn't really know a lot about the history. I'm an East Coast guy. But as soon as you land here, the fans make it known that, look, we haven't been in the playoffs in so many years. We felt that pressure as players. We really did. It was kind of a tough burden to carry because not only did you want to achieve success for yourself and your teammates in the organization, but you just felt the fans' pain. And that weighed on us a lot.
With Brett Favre under center, the weight of the fan base began to lift with each signature win.
Well, you got 1:07. You still got a chance. If you score a touchdown and an extra point, you could win it.
In 1992, it was the comeback win over the Cincinnati Bengals.
Now he pumps it. Now he's going to the end zone. There's a man.
He's wide open.
Touchdown.
It is caught, and it is Kittrick Taylor.
In 1993, it was the dramatic ending to the playoff game in Detroit.
Favre, with daylight and time, goes for the whole thing! Touchdown! Green Bay leads!
Every year, we would take a step. 93, that was our first playoff game in Detroit. Next year, we go a little farther.
Yes, sir, baby! Yes, sir!
And then you could just see it building, building, building.
During their rise, Green Bay was ousted from the playoffs by Dallas in three consecutive seasons. Despite being turned away in the 1995 NFC Championship game, Chimura knew the Packers wouldn't suffer the same fate the following season.
We thought we were as talented as they were, but that plane ride home, we were like, all right, next year, we're going all the way. It's our year, and let's start now.
In 1996, the Packers won eight of their first nine games before suffering back-to-back losses to Kansas City and Dallas. Midway through a late November meeting with the Rams, it appeared the Packers were headed for their third straight loss.
Guys went into that locker room, and there was yelling, and there was screaming. And we came out in that second half, and we were a totally different team. We took over, and you know, we just said, this is our push. We are not losing another game for the rest of the year.
There's Dorsey Levin. Touchdown, Dorsey!
That was the turning point, that halftime in St. Louis.
Chimura and the Packers rolled through the month of December, outscoring their opponents 138-36. In doing so, they earned a first-round bye and home field advantage in the playoffs. After toppling the 49ers in the divisional round, the Packers and the fans finally got what they wanted, an NFC Championship game at Lambeau Field.
What a scene this is. What a place for a championship game. There's nothing like it.
There was pressure. There was tremendous pressure, but there was also tremendous confidence. And I think, you know, it's a ways back, but I think we were even down in that game. And there's no panic. There was no panic whatsoever. And I think that's because we really had two Michael Jordans on our team. We had Brett and we had Reggie. We'd let both of them just show us the way.
Green Bay trailed twice to Carolina, but by halftime the Packers were in control and they never gave up the lead.
Edgar Bennett with a hole on the right side that you could drive a truck to the Super Bowl through.
You know, in some ways it was a better win than the Super Bowl, because we got to do it here in Lambeau and share it with the fans.
Awesome! Woo! We're going to the big dance!
And it's still special today. I mean, I still walk the streets in Wisconsin. People still come up and thank me for those years.
Number 89, Mark Chimura!
Green Bay's a special place. I don't think this happens in a lot of NFL cities. And I remember coming here in 92. There was the stigma, hey, screw up, we're going to send you off to Green Bay. Well, I can tell you that. A lot of players around the league today would love to have played for this organization.
When we come back, Larry points to the matchup to watch, and we'll provide our final thoughts on what it'll take for the Packers to best the Cowboys. As we head to break, here's a look at the NFC North standings. And great to see those highlights from last year. That was a 28-7 victory over the Cowboys here at Lambeau Field. But this is going to be a little bit of a different Dallas team.
And, Ted, I would say a better Dallas team. I think possibly it's the best team the Green Bay Packers have faced to date. And it is, without question, the best offense they've faced to date.
Yeah, looking forward to this matchup. What particular matchup are you looking forward to today?
It goes back to where we began the show, and I think that's that number one rushing attack versus the number one rushing defense in the National Football League. I just think the Packers got to slow that train down, because everything the Cowboys do offensively, and that's the strength of the football team, everything they do is predicated on that running game. Play action, eating the clock, controlling the game. It's all predicated on running the football, and they run it more than anybody in the National Football League, over 50%. To me, that's the key matchup.
One of the most anticipated matchups in the entire NFL this day. All right, for Larry McCarron, I'm Ted Stefaniak. Thanks for watching, everybody. Enjoy the game. We'll see you next week on Packers Today, presented by Verizon. We'll be right back.